And we're back, everybody. The Between Two Wheels podcast, your host, Tyler Yonke. It's the 11th of May. It's my sister's birthday, and it's also mine. We're 6 years apart. 12 o'clock p.m., 12:20 or so. Stage 8, I don't know why I'm giving the time, Spoleto to Prata di Tivo, 2 category, a sprint spot, some other uncategorized climb, a category 3, and then a category 1, 14.7 kilometers, 7% to Prata di Tivo, a stage that they've done at least in Trentino Adriatico. I think they did it this year in another race. Lutsenko won, I think, that one over Adam Yates and a few others. Tadej Pogacar has won here in Trentino Adriatico. I don't think they've had it in the Giro since 1973, they said. Excuse me while I take a sip of water. It's been one of those. I already did a ride. So went to breakfast this morning, did a ride. It's getting warm out here already. And today, so we're going to, and I watched the stage this morning. So I thought we'd do a quick one here in the midday, talk a little bit about it and how, if any, the predictions came true from yesterday. And did they at all? What did I say? I told you with the way the climbs were that it was going to be, it's going to be trouble controlling the brake, and a brake's definitely going to be off. Or the brake, is the brake going to last to the finish? That all depends on, well, two factors really. How much does UAE care about the brake? Is anybody up there worth worrying about? Or do they want the stage win? And then the other big factor is who's in the break as far as can take it to the finish, right? And we've seen this, the Tour de France a few years ago. Vuelta, I'm just talking about Sepp Kuss as an example where he can finish off on a climb. Matter of fact, last year in the Vuelta when he won that stage, we did a breakdown of his time up the climb compared to Jonas, Primoz, Evenepoel. He did a faster time than Evenepoel, who had suffered a bit. And the other two weren't on Strava, so Sepp really had one of the fastest times up the climb, but you can compare at the bottom, and he was actually pretty close to Roglic and Vingegaard. Being you're in the break, you then get up the climb, you're going to be able to hold off if you have any kind of gap at all. Is that what's going to happen today, and who's up there in that break that can actually do it if there's a break at all? And then some of the other dynamics. Okay, so as we've mentioned, there's some climbing to begin with. If you check in the race, the beginning, there's a lot of break formation that's trying to happen. Teams trying to get up in the break, different riders. There's a lot of effort, and UAE is doing, it's interesting how they kind of marshal this, which is they let a few guys go up, then they send someone, they kind of drag it back, then let a few guys go up, then they get drag it back. And they were continually doing that. And then there's a bigger move that went up there, and UAE is still kind of pounding away at the front. Riders already get, Gaviria is going out the back. Milano for UAE is going out the back. Gaviria is with Movistar. And there's a bunch of Jonathan Milan's in going out the back. And UAE is on the front, really trying to bring this thing down. Eventually, a break does get away. And I think I have a list of at least the riders. 120 kilometers to go. You had Store, Quintana, Movistar, Tudor for Store, Tudor, Nairo Quintana for Movistar, Georg Steinhauser for EF, Cofidis had Simon Geschke, Jonathan Narváez for Ineos, Mollebrand for Astana, Pollock for Soudal, Romain Bardet for DSM. I don't know who that guy is. I'm going off of their Twitter handles for Arkea. They had it. Parapente was up there. Bouye for Jayco Galula, Marcus Mercerlucci for VBF, Paolo Sanchez for Movistar, and Magnus Sheffield. He was up there in the break as well. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 or so. That's pretty much what it was. And the group looked pretty good. Sheffield looked to be doing a bit of a work for Johnny Narváez. Romain Bardet is definitely a climber up there in that group. So, and Steinhauser did a lot of efforts trying to get up to the group. Why don't we skip through, because there we go. There, we'll skip through our little video as we have it. There's the break. But you can see here, UAE is doing what they can. You get the break going up there. But this break wasn't cohesive, okay? There was a lot of guys, and they were jumping away. You would see that with Alaphilippe would move, miss it. So he would do a lot of work getting back up to it because this break was kind of breaking up with the big group that you had. Steinhauser was also doing a lot of that the same way. Within the 60 kilometers, they'd go out and over the big climb. Mikael Bjerg had been dropped. Now, remember, he did a lot of work for the team, going through the gravel, okay, stage six, and then he puts out this effort where he's on the the hot seat for just a little bit before Ghana surpassed him. So it's a curiosity why you're having anybody from UAE do any kind of effort. Now, it may have been a thing where you're like, look, we need one guy to really go out hard for pacing purposes to help Tade. Perhaps, but Tade's a quality time trialer, as we saw yesterday. And for the most part, his pacing, as we gave a breakdown, was the climb. Get somewhere near and then just blow everyone out on the climb, okay? By the way, it looked like Ben O'Connor dropped his chain, and he lost what they consider, some people have done breakdown with the Strava stuff, looks like 25, 30 seconds. So he would have had an amazing time as far as the GC hopefuls, not the GC expected. So anyway, Mikael Bjerg is on the front, does an amazing ride yesterday, but blows a lot. I don't know why he was doing that. It seems like something you shouldn't be doing. But then he's on the front today. He gets dropped on his downhill in the section. He comes back. Evidently, the team told Tade, we want to go for the win. We want you to go for the win. Okay, so Bjerg's like one of those guys. So he's on the front doing a lot of work. And this break, as you can see, it was a minute plus, and they're whittling it down. Then that break starts to get, having some trouble. Alaphilippe's not able to hold on to her. Steinhauser's still pushing the issue with Geschke up front. I think Geschke gets a bunch of KOM times. Magnus Sheffield is working the front over there for Narvaez. He's doing a lot of work, actually. And once again, he looked good yesterday. I don't know that that's necessarily... It's great to see that Ineos, once again, had these guys up there, like Sheffield, go for the time trial. That's great. But once again, if he's going to have to do work for Thomas... That might not be the best thing you're doing for saving yourself because you're only in 8 days. But although you look at this route, it was top loaded to begin with. I heard an interview on the cycling podcast. Daniel Friebe interviewed, I think, the RAA, one of the main guys talking. And he's like, look, this race has always been a situation where it's the toughest race out there. It's all this climbing. But it's lost some of its luster for interest. So we're trying to make it a little shorter, trying to have some excitement at the first few stages, which holds your interest. And by the way, 8 stages in, dynamo. It's been just fine. But you look at the next ones coming through and you're kind of like, eh. And then the Stelvio, it looks like it's not going to be passable due to snow. So they're going to be taking that off the route. Eh. I mean, this is going to be exciting to begin with. Snooze fest maybe for the next of it. Anyway. Break still going up here. The Arkea rider, I think his name, I'm not sure. He's moving up. Everyone's kind of like, once again, here's the break. It's all shattered. But then the actual move, when they get onto the climb, Bjerg is there. UAE starts dropping people, and you have Paolo Lopez. He's one of the first ones to really have some trouble out the back. Parapente up front because the break has not been caught yet. But before it is, he ends up attacking Steinhauser, gets away a bit. You've got Bardet, Storr, all kind of going back to the field, which is something I want to bring up here. So here's Bardet. He was up there with the group, but 5 kilometers to go, he starts to get spit out the back. And you have the UA team, which was Novak on the front. Then he's done. Then before Garchartner gets on there, you have Shackman get on there for Bora, and he's doing some work. Now, Alieto's a team rider that's in for Bora. Danny Martinez had moved up to second place. He's still looking good. Garrett Thomas is up in the front. It's about a 25-man group up in the front. At least 3, I think. Badin, O'Connor, and there was another rider there for Decathlon. So they had some riders. Once again, 3 for Bora. UAE had Groschartner still left. They had Mikael Rafa Majka, and obviously Tade Pogacar left. Arensman and Garrett Thomas were still up in the front there. Kian Utebrooks was just solo for himself. Tiberi was up there for, is he with Bahrain? And a few others. Notables kind of in that top section. Lutsenko had been spit out early on. Luke Plapp, who had moved up to first place in the white jersey. He had been spit out already. I don't even think he gave it much of an effort. And so, you know, like I said, the group then is starting to catch Parapente. They pretty much come together with Groschartner done a bunch of work. And then Michael Rafa is left to pulling on 4 kilometers to go. 3 kilometers to go, still nothing from Tad A. The riders all seem to be kind of just sitting in. You're getting Storer is hanging on. So this is Storer had been in the break all day. Okay. Now the GC group is up there. They're pulling everyone to the finish and he's able to sit in. Like I said, Bardet was there in the break for a while too. And then he was sitting in and then he got spit out like 5 kilometers to go. My point is it's not lightning speed. Okay. And at some point you're looking for Tadej. We talked about this yesterday, which is does Tadej just then ride on in a defensive mode kind of into the finish? Perhaps. I mean, if his thought process is, I want to save myself for the double, so I'm still good enough for the tour, I don't blow myself out, then perhaps this is what you do. But you still got to win this race and you want to make sure you got to put yourself in enough cushion so that bad things don't happen. But I don't really think that's a problem. 2.9 to go. The guys are still in the front looking good. Tiberi likes to sit out in the wind. Pozzovivo was there. He had dropped his chain at one point, but was able to get back on. Garen Thomas looked solid the whole time. He said he was feeling pretty good. 1.8, Tiberi takes a little bit flyer. And then you start to see some of these things happen. Now, what happens here with Pogacar is he just easily works his way back up to the wheel. Because this is where Micah, kind of gets taken off the front. They were going to look like just work his way all the way in and have a sprint finish. But some of the attacking that was going on here, Tadej easily puts himself onto the wheel of Tiberi. Arensman tries the same kind of move. Tadej does the exact same thing. Here you go, Arensman with 1.4. There was really nothing, but Tadej doesn't counter. He just kind of sits there, lets it all happen. Storer's having a little bit of trouble at this point in the back, but once again, he had been in the break, so him being able to even hold on at this point, it means that the pace isn't going lightning, especially when you have all these guys. So they're coming back, and inside the last kilometer, Rafa Micah actually makes his way back to the front group and starts to do a bit of a lead out. So you're like, okay, Tadej's got this. As far as who's going to be the sprinters, the two that can sprint for the finish, it's Tadej and Danny Martinez. That's the only two that I think that can actually... Martinez, remember, he had beaten Remco Evenepoel in a top stage finish earlier on this year. I don't remember the race it was. But that's maybe it's Cometa, Valencia, one of those. 200 meters to go. Tadej puts it in, and he has a quick sprint. Once again, we talked about this the other day when your legs are kind of depleted about gearing, and Tadej has he spins it, okay, which is what you want to do because you're able to snap it up and you can sprint down. Danny Martinez has like too big of a gear once again, and it starts to lose the wheel, and Tadej easily comes across the finish line, posts his way up, loves it. And Danny Martinez almost gets pipped at the line. There were some, I think, time bonuses there, pipped at the line by Ben O'Connor. So Ben O'Connor coming good. Garrett Thomas, all the rest, key out to Brooks. There was a little gap to Arensman, about 10 seconds to Arensman. And Storer, Rafa Micah comes in with his post, raising his arms as well, and a few others back there. Tadej, Danny Martinez, same time. Ben O'Connor, same time. 2 seconds to Tiberi. Thomas, Ainer Rubio, Kian Utebrooks. And then 11 seconds back to Arensman, Storer, 21 back to Baldin, who is close up there in the Young Riders jersey. And Rafa Micah came in with him as well. So there's the overall standings. Danny Martinez losing, I don't know if he lost some time bonus time there to Tadej, but otherwise none. Garen Thomas does lose 2 seconds on the road, but also some time bonus if they were applicable. I think they were. Ben O'Connor up to fourth place. Kian Utebrooks, moves up two to fifth place because he jumped over Plapp and Lutsenko. Tiberi moves up to sixth. Lorenzo Fortunato moves up to seventh, 3 places. Ainer Rubio up 4 places to 8th place. Arensman 2 places to 9th. And Jan Hurt hung in there on the back swinging. Is hanging up to 10th place for Sodal Quickstep. There we go. So there's tomorrow's race. Looks like it's just a downhill run. So as long as the sprinters get over these little humps here, they should be going just fine tomorrow. So let's take a look a little bit more at, hey, Victor, Tyler Yonke Live. Yeah, I didn't give you much notice. My bad. You're going to have to maybe rewind when you're done here. Check it out and check out what we've talked about. So anyway, here we go to, there's the stage on the day, but let's go to the results as we just talked about for the finish there. And what I like to do is look at the GC, and it gives a little bit of a breakdown of who's lost. So there's Ledesenko losing five places. Filippo Zana for team Jayco Alulu, he lost five places as well. Those, they were both, you know, close to the top 10 there. Actually, Zana was in ninth, I believe, and Ledesenko, you know, somewhere around sixth. So, you know, pop, those guys, they had some trouble. Bardet ends up losing some time, but he was in that break, tried to get it up there. So Pogacar, I think there at some time, was there some other time bonuses along the way? There was a some sprint in the middle there. Perhaps there were, it looks like 26 seconds, gained for, Pogacar on the day, 12 to Felipe Martinez, 7 to Geraint Thomas, 4 to Ben O'Connor, and 1 to Utebrook. So they had some extra time bonuses. Interesting. As far as the points race, shouldn't be any change. Jonathan Milan hanging tough in there. KOM Martinez moves up into second. Geshka moves five places up into third place. He'll have to do some work. Kalmajan, he's going to end up just keep falling down. But Tade, he might just win that one by default. The youth jersey, Utebrooks, takes over that because we had Luke Plab dropping 10 places. He just, like I said, sat up and moved out of that one. And the team, Decathlon, now into first place over Ineos. That may actually be somewhat of an interesting one. But, I mean, because look at Decathlon for the day. Let's take a look here. Team Decathlon on the day, you had, obviously, Ben O'Connor in the top. He was third. 10th place was Bodin. And Parapente, 22nd. So, you know, they did some fine stellar riding on the day. We will play some interviews. Let's take a look quickly at tomorrow's stage. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be much. It should be a sprinters. Now, you got these humps in here, which is, makes it tough. I mean, what's his name? Jakobsen is just like, can I have a day where it's flat so I could get there? No, you just can't. I'm sorry. It's the Giro. It's just not going to happen. We're going to have a rest day. And then coming out of the rest day, here's stage 10. So, you know, look, it's not shabby. This is going to be Tuesday, a decent amount of climbing there, a Cat 2, but it's not like an HC followed by an HC. I mean, so far I haven't seen that. That's Tuesday, Wednesday. That should be, I mean, sprinters, you know, if they get over this and then regroup. Thursday, I mean, that could be a sprinter's day or a breakaway. Thursday, Friday. Okay, there you go, Jakobsen. Friday, you've got, if you can make it to Cento or to Riccione, you have a chance of doing it for 179 kilometers. What's that? What would you say? Friday, Saturday, a time trial, individual time trial, pan flat, boring. And then it looks like this is going to be Sunday stage up to the, once again, no HCs, just Cat 1s. Then we have a rest day and then 16. I think this is the one of these is supposed to have the Stelvio. And so there is the Stelvio coming in on that next Tuesday, and there's an HC that looks like it's going to be out. So I don't know what they're going to do with this one. Evidently there's, what do you call it when you can, big slide of snow comes down. They're worried about that. So they can't even get up there. And so, you know, the next few days you've got a decent little amount of, action there. Okay. Let's take a few interviews. And then we'll be done. Let's hear what Kian Utebrooks had to say. There's going to be a commercial. I forgot. I should have had this ready. Kian Utebrooks said at the start of the day, you know, he did a decent time trial yesterday. I mean, you don't expect much out of him. But, you know, this gentleman is way too happy.
Also. Back in yellow. What's the feeling to be back in the regular jersey?
Yeah, normally it's really positive to be back in yellow. But now I'm fine with it. I am happy about yesterday. Still a lot of things to improve in TT, but happy that we are on the good way, because in the end I want to go as high as possible in the GC, but on the other side also just improve for the next years. And yesterday was a good step towards that already. So yeah, happy. Yeah, exactly. there are some guys, they are directly there from the first year, and some are a bit slower. And I think we are already on a good way with the age we have. And we try always to analyze also now again about yesterday and try to do it better again in the future.
So looking back on yesterday, how do we think that those results will play into how the race is racing now? Because Hogg really put a lot of you guys in the coffin and a big gaps.
Yeah, exactly. Poggi is really in the front now of the race, but behind, the battle is really still close, and the time gaps are not too extreme. So there will for sure be a big fight. And on the other side, we are even not in 50% of the race, so still a lot of mountains to come. So it's not yet finished.
There you go. Yeah, Kjell Nuttebrooks. He will be an interesting one to keep a watch on. Garrett Thomas at the finish. I want to see a better, shorter one here. Let's go Ben O'Connor at the start here.
The results of the stage of the final 6.6 kilometers. You could tell you were really on a good one yesterday. Had that chain drop not happened, I think you were third best. At one point, you were the best up the climb. That indicates and proves what you were saying at the finish yesterday. You are on good form.
Yeah. Yeah, I was never worried that I hadn't lost form, you know, or that I was performing badly. I think perhaps I just made a bad choice in the earlier stage for the mountain on Roppa, but that's about it. So, yeah, pretty keen for today. It's going to be a nice one to get stuck into. And, yeah, sun's out, guns out. Hopefully going to enjoy it.
You got some guns there?
I don't have many guns, though, that's for sure. They're very, very small.
Neither do I. Then, looking at the GC now, how things stand, I think 333 back. Were you able to kind of analyze all your rivals and your position in the overall and reflect on the days ahead? Summit finished today.
I don't think you really need to analyze too much because you're already well aware from the start who's going to be there, who's not. I think it's very clear that Danny and G are the guys that looking at some of the best for the podium kind of spot, so the main aim is not to lose time to them, and if I can gain some time, that'd be great. But yeah, I think just the main thing today is to be good on the mountaintop and be able to play your game.
How does Decathlon ride this? Because all early season, we really saw the team step. You got Larry ride on stage.
I think, to be honest, I think that we're all going to be passengers with UAE. I wouldn't be surprised if Poggi really wants to put a nail in the coffin on a stage like today, but I think our time will happen later in the weeks, later in the race. Anyway, that's how I see it.
You're not in the coffin.
It blows me away that at a mix zone, whether the idea is that you're going to be interviewing cyclists, you would have music that loud where you can't really even hear the questions or some of the answers. But you know what? That's kind of the standard for what you have there. Let's see if there's anything else we had breaking out from the stage today. So a little curious as to Poggi's reason for playing it safe in a sense. You know, as a chance to, one, get some extra time. I just don't think, I mean, one, you always want to accumulate when you can, and it seems a little bit more risky to come down to a sprint if you want to win, because maybe you skip a chain, maybe Danny Martinez is on that day, and you're not going to get the sprint, maybe you get a little boxed in. All those things can happen, so you're running a little bit of a risk rather than attacking, you know, for 2-3 kilometers, maybe two even kilometers, or he could have gone at 1,200. He could have countered off at Tiberia like 1.8 or Arnsman at 1.4 and probably soloed in, got an extra 10 seconds or so, and maybe put some extra time between himself and, like, he could have got like 10 seconds maybe with Danny Martinez, maybe an extra 15 on Garrett, and then it spreads even more. And it's just like the cushion. Why wouldn't you maybe go from that distance? But you know what? Hey, whatever. It worked out for him today. He's in pink. He's got the pink shorts even. Everything is hunky-dory. Now, let's ask about stage. You know, we just talked about the stage tomorrow. And what are the predictions for who is going to really be the riders that we look for? I mean, look. I predict it's not far enough into this race yet where I think the sprinters are going to just acquiesce and not be able to hold things out. You know, this is stage 9. It's 214 kilometers, so it's fairly long. But I think the sprinters will easily get over these little punches, 4.5 to 3.7% at 60 some kilometers in. And then they've still got, you know, up to, it's 214 kilometers. So you're not even halfway through that stage yet. You got another little bump and then a lot of flat. But then you do have some of these pops here, 3.2 at 4.4%, but still 7 kilometers to go. Look, you should see some attacking going on here, but you're going to have to see if these climbers teams can do it. I mean, I suspect if they bring a break back, you know, within this flat section, 140, you can see what you did the other day when a break actually made it to the finish with Sanchez and was it Valgren and Alaphilippe, which is, it's going to, was that the riders? I think so. But you're going to then, if you get an additional break, which you can have these launches here at 170 to go with this 4.1 at 3.1%, 1.1 at 6.7%, 2 kilometers at 4.9%. I mean, they're not super steep, but they're enough where you're going to be able to just kick. And if you do 1, 2, 3, 4 of those, you know, you have some rider, an Alaphilippe of old, a Wout, if he was here, so to say, you have a tremendous opportunity to spoil the day for the sprinters. So it'll be an interesting thing to see how the sprinters teams do and what the, how they work. And if they work together to do all this work and then maybe have it spoiled by these pops at the end. But you know what? If you got Jonathan Milan, few of these other riders, if let's say it comes down to the sprint, otherwise if it have a little bit of a break, you're gonna have to have some guy with some pop that can get up and over these. Narvaez as an example would be a great one. Maybe Ghana would be those two I'm thinking about for that team. Someone in that realm, maybe Alaphilippe, if he hadn't buried himself so much the last few days, there's a good chance. Maybe a Sheffield. I mean, once again, this is all Ineos, and they probably don't want that to happen. So I don't know who is going to go from the break, but there could be this chance of this late break attack going. Otherwise, you've got Trek that's going to be looking to control things, and then you're going to come down to the sprints, and just, you know, what is Milan? Maybe a Caleb Ewing. I'm so interested to see if he can actually get his shit together in this. Bauhaus is still up there. So, you know, it'll be an interesting, I mean, we've still got a bunch of sprinters, so it'll be, once again, I think Milan has a great shot until he's been able to, you know, outright beat in the sprint. You still got to pull for him, but I would like to see Ewing getting his chance. I like to see him actually get a shot, be put in place, and to see where his legs are at this point. There we go. All right, everybody. Till tomorrow, enjoy that Giro d'Italia on the 11th of May. I'm going to be off. My wife and I, we're going to go to an Italian place. Enjoy it. Have some drinks. Have some pasta. So cheers to you, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Bright and early for stage 9. See ya.
Froome now, he goes on the offensive, he goes on the attack over the top of this final climb, and nobody at the moment can go with him.
They have 75 kilometers to go, and now under the Flamme Rouge, there he is still, the virtual Malia Rosa on the road. Who would have thought it at the start of today? But Chris Froome.